We're off to a different land. Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable book pick segment for this Tuesday morning. We do this every Tuesday morning. We have an independent bookseller come into our studio and tell us great books that should be on our radar. Every week, they publish some really good stuff. They publish some crap, too. But what we try to do...
They do.
What we try to do is highlight the good stuff and let you know what's going on. So that is why Connie is here. Connie Brooks from Battenkill Books in Cambridge. She, by the way, Battenkill Books, right on Main Street in Cambridge, and it's a beautiful bookstore, and it's battenkillbooks.com, and we'll tell you more about that at the end of the segment. In the meantime, let us begin the list. Where shall we begin?
All right. Well, I was listening as we were driving in, and I make no judgments, but I don't have any sports books on the list, so I heard your discussion.
All right, that's fine. I think we've done enough sports.
So I start with a book called, it's a novel, it's called A God in Ruins, and it's by Kate Atkinson. Readers who enjoyed Kate Atkinson's last book, the runaway bestseller Life After Life, will recall the character Ursula Todd, the protagonist who lived out many different lives across the span of the 20th century. Her new book, A God in Ruins, also follows the dramatic events of the last century, this time through the character of Ursula's beloved younger brother Teddy, a would-be poet, heroic pilot, husband, father, and grandfather. In Life After Life, Teddy dies in the war, but in Atkinson's new book, Teddy gets his own alternate story, one in which he must navigate the rapidly changing times.
All right.
Next, I brought in, this is another novel. This is Inside the O'Briens by Lisa Genova. Genova's a neuroscientist, and a lot of people have read her book Still Alice, which was her first book about a woman who's grappling with the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease.
Made into the, I was going to say Academy Award nominated picture, but I believe the actress, Julianne Moore, was nominated.
Yes.
Still Alice.
Still Alice. So many people have read Still Alice or know of Still Alice. So in her new one, Inside the O'Briens, Joe O'Brien is a 44-year-old police officer from the Irish Catholic neighborhood of Charlestown, Massachusetts. A devoted husband, proud father of four children in their 20s, and respected officer, Joe begins experiencing bouts of disorganized thinking, uncharacteristic temper outbursts, and strange involuntary movements. When his symptoms can no longer be ignored, he agrees to see a neurologist and is handed a devastating diagnosis, Huntington's disease. Huntington's is a lethal neurodegenerative disease with no treatment and no cure. Each of Joe's four children has a 50% chance of inheriting their father's disease, and a simple blood test can reveal their genetic fate. While watching her potential future in her father's escalating symptoms, 21-year-old daughter Katie struggles with the questions this test imposes on her young adult life. Does she want to know? What if she's gene positive? Can she live with the constant anxiety of not knowing? As Joe struggles to maintain hope and a sense of purpose, Katie and her siblings must find the courage to either live a life at risk or learn their fate.
And that is by Lisa Genova.
Yes.
And Inside the O'Briens.
Next, I switch to a memoir, and this is a beautiful book called The Light of the World. It's a memoir by Elizabeth Alexander. In The Light of the World, Alexander, a poet, mother, and wife, finds herself at a crossroads after the sudden death of her husband, who was just 49 years old when he died. With rich and lucid prose, Alexander reflects on her marriage and the subsequent void, and channels her poetic sensibilities into describing a very personal, yet also universal quest for meaning, understanding, and acceptance. Alexander embraces the principle that the unexamined life is not worth living, and her memoir is for anyone who has both loved and lost someone. She writes beautifully about finding strength when you want to collapse, and even becoming grateful when we lose someone close to us. It's Elizabeth Alexander's story, but the universality of grief and discovery make it all of ours as well.
Elizabeth Alexander, of course, was the inaugural poet for President Barack Obama's first inauguration, and she is a poet, and there is such poetry in this book. Mm. We had her on last week or the week before. And if you missed it, I don't usually do this, but I ask you to go check it out. It is, I thought, one of the most beautiful conversations I've ever had with a writer. She is stunning. And the reluctance she has, this is a woman who, to me, and in reading the book and certainly in talking to her, seems to me to be very closed, very private, and very guarded. And there was almost the feeling that, A, I can't not write this. I can't stop myself from writing this. And I do think it is important to talk about some of these issues. She does it beautifully. The chapters are incredibly short. They are. It is prose, but there is a poetic nature to it that is absolutely stunning. She is stunning. The story is stunning. And anyone who has ever grappled in any way, shape, or form with loss or grief or just dealing with things that are out of our control, it's just a beautiful meditation and recollection.
And, you know, I've observed people coming into the bookstore and opening the book and going, I'll sit down with this for a couple of minutes. And literally you'll hear them gasp.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that kind of reaction.
And it's so beautiful. She's just such a beautiful, economically wonderful writer. And it is stunning. And it's been getting wonderful reviews. It should be getting wonderful reviews. And I see this on the bestseller list. It deserves to be there. It's a gorgeous book. It's The Light of the World, a memoir by Elizabeth Alexander.
The next book I brought in is The Wright Brothers. This is the new one by David McCullough. On a winter day in 1903, in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, two unknown brothers from Ohio changed history. In his new book, McCullough tells the surprising and very American story of Wilbur and Orville Wright. In later years, the Wright brothers reflected on their upbringing as very important to their success. The house they lived in as children had no electricity or indoor plumbing, but there were many books, supplied mostly by their preacher father, and the two brothers were avid readers. When they worked together, no problem seemed to be insurmountable. Wilbur was unquestionably a genius. Orville had such mechanical ingenuity as few had ever seen. That they had no more than a public high school education, little money, and no contacts in high places, never stopped them in their mission to take to the air. Nothing did, not even the obvious reality that every time they took off in one of their machines, they risked being killed. McCullough takes us on a thrilling ride, getting to know a heroic family who changed the course of history.
David McCullough, again, one of my favorites, and just I don't think there's anybody better writing nonfiction. And I think, when you keep on reading people like this, that eventually you're going to hit a clunker. You know, eventually they're going to suck, right? Eventually they're going to write
a
book.
They had a bad couple of
years. Yeah, something is it. And my God, this guy just keeps on writing these amazing, amazing books. The last one was American Journey, about these Americans who go to Paris and the great work that they do. And this one is about the Wright brothers, which is just a subject that I'm fascinated in anyway.
Right.
And it, again, is just glorious. It's an amazing book. These guys were quirky and weird and just had these amazing ideas,
and the
fact that they were determined, and the fact that they're able to bring it together is completely amazing to me. And he's going to be in our area twice. He's doing an event in Saratoga, which I'll be doing an interview for, and then he's also going to be at the State Education Building in Albany for a public event on June 3rd. And I'll be a part of that as well. And so we look forward to it. It's he's an amazing guy with just this breadth of knowledge. And I will admit, I am listening to The Wright Brothers, and he is he is narrating it.
Right.
And to hear that rumbling baritone of a voice just tell the story is just beautiful, because his writing is beautiful, his voice is beautiful, and it makes for just a lovely experience.
Right, right. And there's always more to learn. You know,
absolutely.
You learn about the Wright brothers in school, you know, years ago, and you know, there's so much more to the story.
You know what surprised me is that I grew up, my brother lives in right outside of Kitty Hawk,
mm-hmm.
and we would go down there and go to Kitty Hawk. And anybody who's been down there, you see the park, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, they went 3 feet, oh, they went 5 feet, oh, they went 12 feet.
Oh, very nice.
You know, very nice. And that actually is very little to this story.
Right.
You put it in the grand scheme of things. And that fascinated me. I thought it was really interesting. So, yes, it's a wonderful new book. It just came out last week. And pick it up. All right.
Another, this is a biographer, H.W. Brands, and I don't think he has any clunkers. And in his new biography, he takes on Reagan. His book is Reagan, A Life. So Ronald Reagan today is a conservative icon, celebrated for transforming the American domestic agenda and playing a crucial part in ending communism in the Soviet Union. In his new biography, H.W. Brands argues that Reagan, along with FDR, was one of the most consequential presidents of the 20th century. Reagan, who himself had voted for FDR 4 times, took office at a time when the public sector, after half a century of New Deal liberalism, was widely perceived as bloated and inefficient. Reagan sought to restore democracy by bolstering capitalism. Brands follows Reagan as his ambition for ever larger stages compelled him from a troubled childhood in small-town Illinois to become a radio announcer and then a movie star. Brands follows his subject on his improbable political rise from the 1960s when he was first elected governor of California to his triumphant election in 1980 as president of the United States.
By the way, I would say in general terms, and I don't want, this is not a sweeping statement, but very rare for anyone to go into radio and become president.
Very, but
that is
not unheard of.
And
via obviously. Movie star, you know,
yes.
you, a little sideline
well,
as, you know,
went
as,
into
as
that,
Hollywood, you know,
most
along the
people,
way.
I don't think the electorate would allow on the ballot.
So it's a, you know, it's the story of Ronnie, but it's also the story of an era, you know, this time reflecting back on, you know, with all the talks about the Soviet Union crumbling. And it's just an excellent, excellent book. So, and I don't, have I run out of time?
No, you're okay. It's Reagan, A Life by H.W. Brands. No, we actually, we have 5 minutes.
All right, good. Excellent. So the next book I brought in is kind of a quirky and unusual book. It's called The Antarctic Book of Cooking and Cleaning, A Polar Journey by Wendy Tressler and Carol Levine. The Antarctic Book of Cooking and Cleaning is a unique journey through an austral summer when a group of dedicated individuals, 54 people, civilians from 5 different countries, picked up nearly 3 decades worth of garbage during a 3-month period in Antarctica. In their journal, Tressler and Devine transport readers back 20 years and thousands of miles to Bellinghausen, the Russian research station that became their temporary home. Devine, a humanitarian who piloted the project, and Tressler, a visual artist and cook, used journal entries, letters, provision lists, recipes, and menus to document their voyage. They share pithy, insightful observations on life, food, science, politics, and the environment. Showcased throughout are modern and vintage photos and vignettes from Antarctica's short history, all of which paint a picture of this very unique and special place. And I guarantee if you pick this book up, you won't be able to put it down. It's just really, really neat.
Nice use of the word austral. By the way.
Austral, yes. The southern
and southern hemisphere.
Yes, not a word we
reference.
Hear often in the
no,
Northeast.
No, not nearly enough. I like it. I was because when you initially said it, I said ostrich? Austral.
Like yes. Australia.
Yes, yes, makes sense. All right, next.
I have a young adult novel. This is a book called Mosquito Land by David Arnold, and it's a book that deals with both mental illness and divorce. After the sudden collapse of her family, Mim Malone is dragged from her home in northern Ohio by her father and new stepmother to Mississippi, where they require Mim to take antipsychotic drugs. Though you aren't sure if it's Mim's paranoia or reality, she becomes convinced that her father and stepmom are hiding the fact that her mother is very ill. So Mim slips out one night and hops aboard a northbound Greyhound bus headed back to Cleveland. Along the way, she meets a cast of characters, her fellow travelers, and we're privy to Mim's internal monologue as she chronicles those who are seemingly charming and seemingly menacing. A harrowing accident will require Mim to reevaluate much of what she knows about love, loyalty, and sanity. It's an excellent, excellent young adult book.
Internal monologue, Here's a little bit. I am a collection of odysseys, a circus of neurons and electrons. My heart is the ringmaster. My soul is the trapeze artist. And the world is my audience. It sounds strange because it is. And it is because I am strange.
Excellent.
That's great.
Isn't it?
That's great stuff. The book is Mosquito Land by David Arnold.
And my last selection, this is a book for young children. Welcome to the Neighborwood, not the neighborhood, the Neighborwood by Sean Sheehy, who's both the author and illustrator. It's a pop-up book. It's a wonderful little pop-up book in which we meet 7 animal builders and see how their unique skills help them survive. At the edge of the forest, a spider spins her web, while nearby, a hummingbird uses strands of spider silk to build her nest. These are just 2 of the many animals who live side by side, sharing the resources they need to construct homes, traps, or places to store food. The animal exploration culminates in a fabulous final spread showcasing all the Neighborwood creatures together. And I love this book. It's just a delight.
It looks very cool,
mm-hmm.
and very fun.
It is.
It's called Welcome to the Neighborwood by Sean Sheehy, who is the illustrator as well. For more information on the Battenkill Bookstore in Cambridge, New York, Battenkill Books, you can go to their website, which is battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com. Anything else fun going on?
We have so much coming up this summer. You know, our summer story, our program starts next month. We do Where's Waldo Local this summer as well, which involves businesses all around town. And our next Curiosity Forum talk was actually postponed from the winter. It's the Underground Railroad Revisited. Paul and Mary Liz Stewart, who are researchers in the area and they're scholars in residence at Russell Sage, they're going to be talking about the Underground Railroad in the Capital area. So we are looking forward to that. And that's Sunday, June 28th at 4 o'clock.
You can find out more information about all the events at Battenkill Books by going to their website, which is battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com. Better yet, go see them. They're right on Main Street in Cambridge, New York. Depending on how you're going, but they're right near the railroad tracks.
Yes, we're exactly.
Either right before or right after the railroad tracks.
If you don't see us, just turn around and go the other way and cross the tracks.
Just go around the tracks. You'll see them.
You'll hit us.
Connie Brooks, always great to see you. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
A delight. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.